Hello and welcome to episode number 122 of BJ Shea's Board Game Alliance. That's right, we have another jam-packed episode for you today. I am your host, Joey Blank. Just Blank.
Oh, whoops. Shoot, I forgot.
I see what you're doing there, because that's going to lead to some of our topics today.
Oh, that's a perfect name. You win, finally. You won one.
Ah, yes. Look at that.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I just checked with the judges. Blank is not written there. Either. Ah.
Yes. Well,
rules lawyered.
Rules lawyered before we talk about rules. Sean Epperson of Thing 12 Games joins us to ruin my day.
Oh, hey.
Josh Utley of the Omega Gamers.
Yes, sir.
You are here and ready to party.
Hey, how's it going?
Board game party. Of course, Vicky B on the board. Hello, Vicky.
Hello.
Josh, how can the Geek Nationals get a hold of us?
Well, they can go to bjgeeknation.com and you get all the podcasts, blogs, interviews, videos, links, and more. Also, search for us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, or Odyssey.com.
AUDACY, Odyssey. As we alluded to,
Odyssey.
We are going to talk some rules, but before then, Josh, I hear we have something to do on Instagram.
Yeah. Techite?
I think you got that right.
Sure.
None of us agree.
Let's ask Sean. Sean, how do you think you pronounce this name?
Oh, that's Techite.
Techite.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
The
perfect.
Second time.
Haha. Take that, Sean.
and this question's really for you.
Oh, for me.
Yes.
Yeah, so. I love questions.
He wanted to know if we ever played a game called Formula E. Not Formula D. Not Formula Day. Formula E.
Now, what is Formula E? I don't think we did.
Why don't you type that one into BGG?
All right, let's
take a look. I think you'll find it very Joey.
Why was he asking?
Formula space letter E.
BGG.
Are there attack elephants?
God, I hope there are. There are! It's all elephants! You were right! Nailed it, Vicky! Well, I have not played Formula E, but I'm going to have to. These are some fancy elephants, man.
Yeah, it's a racing game with elephants.
Why does everyone not race with elephants? This is a perfect idea. Cars.
Yeah,
get
what
rid
could
of
go
them.
Wrong? Yeah.
Nothing, Josh. No one watched Lord of the Rings. Those elephants were nice. It was the bad orcs that needed to get squished.
I told him we have not, but thank you because we will.
This was a fantastic recommendation. I'm definitely in.
So I looked for this game. This game is actually really hard to find. However, I'm a resourceful person. I have connections.
Ooh.
So I am working on making this happen.
Awesome.
Just don't ask him what he had to do.
Sean, what did you have to do?
It may involve elephants.
Oh my God.
Enough said.
You know, for those who don't know, when you pick up elephant dung, it's heavy.
Yes.
So Sean, I feel for you for what you had to do.
So will you be customizing your elephant meeple and adding war banners and elves with bows and arrows?
I'm going straight Nos on my elephant. If we're racing, I'm going to need that bonus.
Well, Techite, there's your answer.
Yeah, we have not played it, but thank you so much for messaging us and sending us that. I am very excited, and Sean, I'll be waiting to see what we can do with my race elephant. I'm going to have to name it. I don't know. I'll find a good name. Well, moving on from games with elephants, since I'm probably the only one who's so obsessed with them, to games that we teach, because last week on our episode, Josh talked about teaching two games at once and nailing it.
Yeah,
but that's not always the case sometimes when you teach a game.
Well, they were
game.
Also very good players. So that,
that always helps. Well, to your
mostly
audience.
Good players.
Everyone with Sean is a really good player.
But sometimes when you teach a game, guys, you teach it thoroughly. It's perfect. 99% of that game you nailed.
Are you talking to me? Because you are not talking to me.
Yeah.
70-ish% of the game you nailed.
Yeah.
But you forget that one rule, and unfortunately, that one rule ruins the game.
One rule would be nice.
Yeah.
One time, long time ago, Zaya, I actually forgot all the rules.
Everyone?
Not because it had been a long time, not because I hadn't learned the game yet, but we decided to play a couple tables of Zaya, and I'm sitting down, setting up my table, BJ's sitting up his table. And BJ gets the bright idea. Let's all just go stand by Josh and he'll teach the game to everybody.
What a nice guy.
No! Instant mind drain, and because they're standing, everybody's hovering, watching me, and I'm like, I don't want to do this.
Josh, would you like to present in front of the class?
No. I had to tell him. I had to tell your dad no. Go teach your game over there. You can ask me questions, but I'm going to handle these five people.
Yeah. Oh, man, that can be intimidating. I mean, I am a terrible teacher sometimes. So I'll literally be there and like, so anyways, the answer is five. And thank you. The work's on the board. I am not helpful.
Just people standing, staring like I'm going to actually communicate. Well, you guys heard me try to say how to get a hold of us.
So when has that happened? When has that whoops, I forgot happened for you, Sean? Since apparently Josh has said you are not great at explaining or, you know, teaching games.
I've had some interesting moments. The worst one for me, I'm going to save that one for my final one.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a different one. So in the estates, it's a fairly simple rule set. One of the things that I forgot was that you actually have to have a contract in order to be considered amongst the winners at the end of the game.
Oh, no. So that's like just like, it's very simple, right? You do all the other actions.
Yes.
And they get to the end of the game, and they don't have that piece of paper.
Yes, and then you find out later, like, oh, crap. Yeah, that would have been a very important thing that you should have known, and I should have known. And this is a simple rule set, and I missed it. Oh, my God, I feel like an idiot. And it's really great when you're doing that, and you're teaching people that are other content creators. For you're like, so yeah, when you go to play this, make sure this highlighted portion that's in red and standing out and flashing neon, yeah, don't forget that.
Yeah, the one that they really bolded for you, so yes. You can't forget. You shouldn't forget that one.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I feel you, man. I played, actually, funny enough, the old Star Wars TCG game, essentially where you build a deck, you go to locations, and you're trying to put out Darth Vader and stuff. And my friend is teaching me this game, and he teaches me all the rules. We play the game. Darth Vader is whooping my ass. He is destroying the rebels, and I can't figure out why. Until afterwards, because there's this little card, and this card says you can't place stuff to blow up the energy field reactor if Darth Vader's here. Turns out he forgot the line of text that says, unless you put a guy on the docking bay. So this whole time, I think I can't destroy it unless I defeat Darth Vader. So I'm just waves and waves of rebels at Darth Vader. And he is having the easiest time defeating the Alliance. Let me tell you. So afterwards, my friend looks at me and goes, that's my bad.
Apparently, if you read all of the text.
Yeah, it probably would help. So I feel you. Sometimes there's that one line you miss that just changes the game.
Yep.
What about you, Vicky? Have you ever had any of those experiences?
Only when I play with Sean. And it's usually him doing it with me.
Ouch. Et tu, Brute?
No, I don't. See, I don't have.
She's a truth teller.
Yeah.
No, I don't really like teaching games. Usually when I would play more often is when I lived in Seattle and I had all the roommates who were, like, I got into board gaming, which is a fun story, but for another day. And so there was four of us who would game all the time, and we would just hand it over to the roommate we call Tahiti Steve.
Tahiti, like, Steve!
You read this, and you tell us how to play him or Colin. Colin would, you know, the two guys of the house. It's like, you guys figure it out, and you show us how to play, because I'm going to try to read this, I'm not going to understand, then I'm going to try to teach it, and none of us are going to understand. So, Vicky does not teach games. Unless it is a game I have had a few rounds playing. I don't ever teach a new game. I can't. I usually, like, I wait till, like, Josh or maybe BJ. Sometimes he gets ahead of himself. Like, trying to explain things. I'm like, okay, we're not there yet. Let's just start and, like, go over, do one game, first round, figure it out, and then we can play the real game.
Yes, Vicky, you and I are very spoiled. Because I don't know if this is true in every gaming group, but BJ will unpack, learn, get all the meeples assembled, watch a tutorial, send you the YouTube video. Sean and Josh will explain, play a game 10 times, and then invite you into their group, and they'll know everything. Now, some things might get left out every once in a while, but you'll always be able to ask them questions because they're so good at the games. So I do feel very spoiled when it comes down to it. When I'm like, people are like, well, how do you learn a new game? Well, I asked Josh and Sean and BJ.
It can also be a little exhausting because BJ always comes up to me. He's like, I just found a perfect game that you will love. I'm like, he's like, we need to play. I'm like, but all the hundreds of dollars I spent on my other games, can we play one of those? He's like, but this is a new game. I'm like, but the old games I haven't played in forever because of the pandemic and being a recluse. Like,
Cult of the new.
Right? So spoiled and could be a little hectic sometimes.
Yeah, definitely a little hectic. I have had many board games I've never played explained to me for multiple hours. So I might be an expert without ever playing the game.
Yeah, it's on, like, BJ does a great job teaching, but unfortunately my learning type, I don't hear any of it.
It's just in and out.
I just I check out when people are verbally explaining the game.
Oh,
even if they're doing a wonderful job. I mean, some players read from the rule book and that, no.
Mm-mm.
But once we get started and like, okay, just what do I do on my turn? But I never try to rush because a lot of people learn really well the way he teaches. I'll just interrupt him and make jokes because, you know, that's
that always helps.
Yes, it's very helpful. But yeah, he actually does a really good job and very rarely has some misses.
It is a skill that you learn over time. And I know many few people that have learned as many new board games as he has. Well, besides those rules, I see one on here for On Mars, Josh. What happened?
Yeah, I was playing at OrcaCon.
Lovely con.
Playing On Mars. Maybe not the best game for a con because it's very thinky.
It's but chunky.
We had a fairly quiet area, so I'm like, yeah, let's do it. We were playing Austin Valentina again. She wanted to play. So we're getting it out. We're playing. I'm teaching the rules. I'm a little cold on the rules, so my normal method of teaching is a little muddled and slow. But we get through it, and we're playing, and I forgot there's this important scientist rule. And my nephew, again, he found out I wanted a scientist. So, of course, he buys it. He gets it really quick. He didn't have no buildings. Like, you want it, so I'm taking it.
John's like, yes, it's me.
And he plays it in front of me, which the scientist, that's what you do. You send him out to work. And you're the owner of the scientist, so you can bring him back whenever you want. I forgot, and luckily this only hurt me, if the scientist is in front of you, they can work for you. So I wanted the scientist, and he put it in front of me. But for about 4 or 5 rounds, I did not use the ability I really wanted to use off the building I built because I forgot to tell everybody, including myself, if the scientist is in front of you, you can use it.
So he is actually helping you.
Yes.
And you didn't even know.
No. And I was mean to him.
Wah, wah.
Well, you learn the hard way sometimes, don't you, Josh?
Yes, yes.
I love it, though. There's always Sean, I don't know how it is, but in every board game group, there's always a little bit of that stabbiness to it. And it really just adds to the flavor of every board game.
In some board game groups that Sean's not involved with, that's not true.
Who doesn't like a little controversy, a little chaos in their game?
So my most embarrassing one, the one I feel to this day, I still feel terrible about. We were at Zulu's, and I had to leave early. I had to do something with my family. So I had set up a game for Byron and his wife, and I forget who else.
Delana.
It was a full of complement of people. There, Delana was there. And this is Rise to Nobility. Now, this is a really heavy, crunchy Euro game, fantasy-themed Euro game. Great game, dice worker placement. Each place that you go, you have multiple options. There's just a lot to this game. When I went to teach it, a lot of that had just poof out of my head. So I'm kind of going through the rule book as well as teaching them. Now, put heavy air quotes around teaching because I basically taught them wrong pretty much everything about the game. And then I had to jam.
Oh, no.
And I found out later that they spent a good, 2-3 hours trying to, muddle through and realize, no, everything we learned was wrong. So we just packed everything up. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
That is the best Dine and Dash story I've ever heard. Sean and Dash.
Oh, I felt so terrible about that. So, yeah.
What's funny is they keep running over to me. It's like, Sean had this complete. Look, this is what he said. This is what it is. I'm like, I wasn't at that table.
Hi, I'm Josh. Oh, Oh, that's brutal. That is so funny, though, because that you know that they're sitting there just like, this 2 + 2 = 4,
right?
But Sean said 49, and like, I don't know why. I mean, the game is, I guess. Oh, man, but those stories are great, though, because they stick with you. You know, they're so funny afterwards. Well, minus the rules that we didn't teach, we didn't get to our full list of games we'd played over the holiday break on the last episode because, as I alluded to, it's extensive.
There was a lot.
There was a lot of games.
There were a lot.
So we talked a little bit of stuff on OrcaCon, but what else did you guys get to play? What's something fresh, something new that caught your eye? Because I know, Josh, you're going to addicted to Oathsworn. I'm sure that Oathsworn, the meeples that you've backed.
Dude, the story in that game Sworn Corner. We got to a new story that you just can't imagine where it went.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That good, Sean?
Yeah.
Really? I see both of the light in your eyes.
This concludes this week's Sworn Corner.
So you're saying still one of your favorite games, though?
Oh, yeah.
All right, besides Oathsworn.
Well, I got a new one for Christmas called The Wolves.
The Wolves.
Mm.
And it's a medium light area control game.
Okay.
And you have alpha wolves and beta wolves. And your goal is to increase your pack size and increase, essentially, your holdings. And you can do that by sending your alphas to make other people's your betas.
I already hate this because the scientist who discovered the idea of alpha wolves came back and he's like, no, I had my information wrong. There is no such thing as an alpha wolf. They were literally parents to their babies.
Oh.
So that term has actually been redacted, but nobody cares. And everyone still uses those terms as it's a real thing. So that's why I think it's not real.
Well,
sorry.
The best thing about this game is how you take your turn. You have these tiles that are double-sided, and on your turn, what you see dictates the actions you can do, and then you flip those tiles over, and they're different on the other side. So your turns and what your availability to do changes every turn and could change quite drastically because some actions require one of this land type. Some can require three of this land type. Unfortunately, it's not that great of a game.
Oh, no.
And in an area control game where going last is hugely important in any area control game because you get to make the last moves. This game has the game ends immediately mechanic.
Ah, that is a tough mechanic.
Yeah, so one player who was very close to first and second just didn't get a turn. And even though it wasn't equal turns either, it just stopped.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I would probably play it again, but I don't see playing it a lot.
Yeah, that can be tough. I can understand being frustrated with that. When I think of wolves, I don't normally think of Vicky's problem with alpha wolves, unfortunately. I think of The Hangover. And
the lone wolf.
The lone wolf. First, I was a wolf pack of one, and then I met my board game friends. And now I feel like we are a wolf pack of many.
Oh, my God.
Alpha, beta. Well, you'll have to let us know how the second playthrough goes. Sometimes in your original playthrough with that problem of going first does really matter. Maybe it just happened in that one playthrough. You never know. But again, I'm with you. I like that equal turns just because even if the last turn doesn't matter and you get your turn, you lose anyways, it just feels more complete. Because when you're planning something and you don't get to do your last turn and you're sitting there looking at all your resources and you're like, but all my NOS for my elephant. I want to use it.
Fucking Joe.
Do not stand behind the elephant with NOS.
Yes, don't do it. But what about you, Sean?
So when we go to cons, I try to bring two different types of games. Either something that people are really excited about, you know, that's brand new, and looks really cool on the table, you know, really eye-catching, or something that nobody's really ever heard of. You know, that game that you may have seen on the shelf, maybe, but you know nothing about. So to that end of things, I played World Splitters by Emperor S4. This is a brand new game from them that I got from Zulus. And so I learned it, and it's also territory area control. And so I taught that. Dave from Dude Take Your Turn up in Canada, he was down at OrcaCon, so he played with us. And this is a really cool game. So the thing about a territory control game is usually one person is going to get that area and then everybody else gets kind of screwed out. It has a really cool bidding mechanism where you are going to bid on being able to place a worker, a meeple, at an area, one of two sides of an area. So you have a bidding round and whoever bids the most money is going to give that money to the person that put this bid up for auction, this location up for auction. And they either take the money or they pay that person that amount of money. Then you have another bidding round. And the bidding round now goes backwards, and it's whoever bid the second highest. So you don't want to overbid that one. That gets a little trickier. And then whoever wins that one, they get to place their meeple on the other section of this piece. Once an area has been sequestered off and it's completely closed off with all these fences, which is what you're using, then there is going to be a scoring round. And you score based on territory control. Whoever has the most meeples in that area, they get the amount of points based on the size of that area. And then you're going to get points for all the meeples that are in that area. So Josh may have three and I only have two. But Joey, if you've got some in there as well, maybe I'm the one that has the most to be able to get all the points from all the meeples in there. So there's two different people that are going to score off that.
Interesting. That's a little tough.
You've already lost me. Could you show me how to, in a round? Let's play right now.
Sure. It's really cool. And the way it goes back and forth, there's different awards you can get. You can only create an area up to a certain size, so it locks things down. It's really thinky and puzzly. It had this sort of... almost like chess-like feel, because you're kind of like watching what everybody's doing, where can they go. It's really, really cool. And it plays in the box and on top of the box. So you're actually using every component in the game to play the game.
Ah, that's awesome.
And there's four different areas, four different maps that you play on. Each map has special things, that bonuses that you can get if you win a certain spot. There's just a lot to this game, a lot of replayability to it. And the bidding mechanism is so unique and different. World splitters.
Yeah, Sean knows I like bidding games. He knows that every time he comes, he's like, I have a game I think you're going to like, Joey.
And it's a closed economy, too. So there's no new money coming in. So you really have to like watch where you're bidding and how much you're spending. Yeah.
Sean played a basically blackjack game with me.
I was about to say, I'm like, I wonder why Joe likes bidding games.
Yeah, blackjack.
I'm from Nevada.
Yes.
Guess,
so you know.
You'd never guess who won that one.
Was it Sean?
No.
Oh, dang, Josh. I lost my 50-50. Hit me.
We played 21 at like recess in elementary school. Come on.
Dang.
Things you do in Nevada as a child. Learn how to play blackjack.
It's either that or hang out in the desert with the rattlesnakes.
Snakes? What about the elephants?
Nope.
One other one I got to play, our friend Lacey taught me Gollum. And it's based on the Jewish Gollum myths, the stone golems.
Oh, so not Lord of the Rings.
Not Lord of the Rings. No. Gollum. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. But... she taught it. She did a wonderful job teaching it. She really knows the game really well. So your golems are, they're getting out of control. And the students who created the golems, the apprentices, they're just trying to keep them close, keep them railed in so they don't get too out of control. Now, while she did a great job teaching it, and I'm glad a lot of people enjoy this game, I did not enjoy this game.
What did you not enjoy about this game?
It's a tug-of-war game. Uh-oh. Everything you do is almost immediately countered. And trying to get ahead, for me, it was very painful. Nothing felt rewarding.
Do you know those games where they like oil someone up and they have them try to race up the very slippery steps? It seems like you were getting pulled back and sliding down.
At one point, I was like, well, I'll advance my golem. Yeah, I'll have to lose like 8 points, but that's the final spot on this track, so it's got to be worth a lot more points. It was worth 8 points.
Hey, a net gain for your city of zero.
Other people love it. Lacey really enjoys it. For me, just not my game. But the theme was really cool. I like the theme.
No, if it's a good theme, you at least suffered through it.
Yeah, it's just I guess I just need a little more reward personally when I'm playing. If you plan out something and you do it, you kind of want to feel like, yay, I may not win, but I got something.
You got to the top of the mountain on a cloudy day.
Yes.
And there was no view. You're like, what is this? Now I'm all tired. My golem's broken.
Oh, you could choose to destroy your golems if need.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Did you destroy your golems in anger?
No, I destroyed my golems regrettably. But I built it. I felt bad for the golems.
Really?
Why? If I'm going to build them, why would I destroy him? I love him. He's my golem.
The old phrase is, if you build them, they will come. So,
that's true. Then we can play baseball.
Yeah. Me you don't want to destroy them. No one will show up. I actually played one game.
What?
A game that I played a bunch of times. It's a fun family game. See,
is it draw what?
No, but that's good. Yeah, that's good.
You know that's
fine. My sister's fiance, which I mentioned last podcast too, has a favorite game, and his birthday is around Christmas time. So we played Quest for Valeria,
nice.
Which is a very fun game where you draft units that you use as currency to try to complete quests. Very yeah. simple, very fun, but very rage-inducing. Because my sister's fiancé loves to think his whole turns out and everything. But as you know, the tableau of the board changes as people take their turns and it gets refreshed with more workers yeah. you can mm-hmm. buy. Which can be very frustrating. Yeah,
thanks for buying my card, Joey. Wonderful.
Oh, you should have seen BJ flip out. Because my sister was playing next to BJ, so she was going, and then he would go after her. And every single round, he'd do his talking, we'd eat a little food eating, and he'd get back to his turn, he'd look, and he'd be like, where's my worker? And he'd be like, Sarah, there's no reason you needed the blue worker. And he'd look over, there it is, sitting in her tableau. Where's my blue people now? And it's just so funny. Every turn was the exact same way. Every get to my sister's fiance's turn. He'd look at me. Why did you buy that? I'm like, I bought it because you wanted it. And he would just stare at me, and I'd be like, yeah.
I've seen you and amazing. Your dad just like for no reason other than to annoy each other. Take game moves in games.
There, whenever we're in a four- or five-player game and I'm with my dad in a game and I'm losing and he's clearly losing, he will spend, and I've done this too, 10 minutes to try to negotiate with me. And I'll be like, you know what? I will use my ultimate move to destroy all your ships.
I was there on that Game of Thrones yeah. day.
And everyone's sitting there, they're like, why? And I'm like, because I lose. And I am also going to make sure he loses.
We're going down in flames. You're coming down with me.
Family bitterness. Very Game of Thrones style, to be honest with you. Yes. It really fit the theme. Yes. So, yes, I played. I lost, but it was a ton of fun. I love those quick games, 30 minutes. I think we actually took like an hour playing that game, though. But, you know, you can play with your family and your friends, and it was just a great time. So, we did one of those. I did play another game. I don't remember its name. My sister won. That's probably why. I blacked out of my memory. She always wins this one game. She's really good at the roll in place, where it's like you roll a dice, and then the dice goes on a resource, and then you collect things. Crushes those games every time. And like, as a thinker...
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah. She'd probably love it. Because every time we play those games, me and her fiancé are just staring at each other like... She doesn't even plan out her turns. She just rolls the dice and she puts it on the thing and then she wins.
Every time Sean teaches me a game, I'll destroy on it.
Yep.
The first time only and then never ever again.
Yeah. Oh, so I feel the pain, but it was so much fun. I loved it. So many great games.
I've got one more game I'd like to talk about, just because yes. this is like in the new kind of hotness type stuff.
I love the new hotness, Sean.
So Orleans is in my top 10 for sure. Like, I love Orleans. It's an awesome bag builder, has that sort of deck buildery feel, but using tokens, just a gorgeous game.
And yours is all upgraded.
So mine, yeah, fully upgraded.
Ooh, the fancy version.
It's all fancy.
Well, there's a brand new version of Orleans that they came out with called Joan of Arc, Orleans Draw and Write. And what it does is take Orleans, which is an hour to an hour and a half game, and boils it down to 30 to 45 minutes.
By hour to an hour and a half, with our group, he means 3 to 4 hours.
Yes. But it takes it to like a 30, 45 minute game, because it's that that roll and draw and write type stuff. What you're going to be doing is you're going to draw a number of tokens out of the bag, and each person is going to get to draft one of those workers, and then apply it to their sheet. And everybody has their own personal sheet, their own personal board that they're working on. And certain things come up, like there are activation tiles that give you special benefits when you use certain workers. But when someone claims that, you just have to mark it off your board. You don't get that now.
Oh,
so there's definitely a race for certain things, yeah. just like in Orleans. So it really feels like the game of Orleans, but in a much tighter way to play. And everybody that played it with me just had a blast with it. I didn't win, which I usually do really well in Orleans, but and I got crushed on that one.
Yeah, well, he does great in Orleans because, like, oh, did I mention we were playing the backstabby version? I must have, whoops, forgot that rule.
I don't know how it happened, everyone.
So if you like Orleans and you like those draw and write kind of games, definitely check this one out because it's fantastic. They did a really bang up job on it.
That's sweet. So many great games that we've played over the vacation, over the break. So many more games to play. Stay tuned next week for our review that we will do of The Boys, because we did get to play that board game, as we talked about that with Josh on a previous podcast. It was a great time. But until then...
Play nice. Sean, don't forget. Play what? Nice.
I already forgot.